Our Bible reading today comes from Romans chapter 10. We've been in Romans 10 for all of September. We'll be in Romans 10 through the end of October. Today we're going to focus on just one verse. It's verse 15, and it reads like this. How are they to proclaim Jesus unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now may the words of our mouths, the meditations of our hearts, be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. Did everybody get one of these camo bracelets that wanted to get one? Did y'all get one over here? Yeah, we need a few more of those camo bracelets, if y'all could bring some forward. Yep. Great. Right up here in this corner over here, Steve. Anybody else? Everybody get one? Yep. One right over there. Yep. Mr. Usner. Raise your hand up there. Yep, really good, very good. As those are being passed out, you're going to want one of these. Did y'all get one? Yeah, you're going to want one of these so that you can follow along at the end of the sermon and so that after the sermon you can take it with you and you can potentially wear it and you can take it to HEB, to Walmart. You can take it to your work spot. You can take it to your network of family members and friends. And it's all about us sharing the good news of Jesus, the news that we bear and that we share in the name of Jesus. And so today's theme is Romans chapter 10. And as Christians, as Christ followers, we are called to bear and to share this good news of Jesus with those people who need to hear it. And sometimes those people are people who don't have a big relationship with Jesus, and sometimes they're people who do have a faith relationship with Jesus, but they just need to be reminded again. I don't know if you're like me, but when temptation strikes or when there's a difficult time, a difficult season going on in your life and the winds are blowing and the storm is coming, sometimes we tend to maybe get a little bit of what we might call faith amnesia. We just kind of tend to forget about the presence and the power and the promises of Jesus as much as when life is rolling well. And so this little... we're going to call it a cheat sheet, okay? This little cheat sheet, or you might even refer to it as a Cliff Notes of the Bible, if you will. It's your prompt to remind yourself, or if others ask you about it, to maybe be able to tell them a little, because other people may be going through a difficult time or a hard season, and it's our opportunity then to raise up Jesus and put it on their radar screen. Verse 15 says this, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. We're going to be talking about two things today. We're going to be talking about beautiful feet, and we're going to be talking about good news. So I have a question for you. Don't take off any shoes or boots or anything like that, but how beautiful are your feet? How beautiful are your feet? I already see some people chuckling around here. You know, feet play a very important role when it comes to the business of sharing the good news of Jesus. And feet are such an interesting part of the body's anatomy, are they not? I mean, you know, you can tickle somebody's tootsies and they'll laugh and they'll jump and maybe they'll even scream. Some people won't even let you touch them in that particular area. Other people don't even want to have their feet be seen. I remember my granny, my grandma, would never go anywhere barefoot. She would never, ever have her picture taken in just bare feet. There was something so private, just so personal about bare feet. And you know, when it comes to feet, I think people have what I would call a really nice pair, a nice set of feet. You know, they kind of are the right size. They're proportionate to their body. Maybe they're soft and tender, no calluses or corns. Maybe they've got the groomed nails just right, cuticles cut, no cracks, no peeling, odorless. Like I said, a really nice set of hooves. However, on the other foot, some are not so anatomically blessed. Some of them may be marked with plantar's warts, hammer toes, scales, bunions, blisters. Some people have a perpetual case of that athlete's foot. It's always cracking and always peeling. Some too are afflicted with what that is known as that toenail fungus. You know what I'm talking about? When you pull off the socks, there's a stench that goes on that could kind of rival a dead skunk in 100 degree heat on a Texas highway, right? Exactly. Yours truly falls into this latter category, okay? And, we have to talk about ugly feet. Because when the Bible says that there's such thing as beautiful feet, it's sort of an oxymoron. Beautiful feet? You think about in the Bible, the business of feet. People walked around barefoot. They walked in sandals. They walked in streets and roads that the cows and the sheep and the goats, the chickens, were walking in as well. And, of course, they stepped in the things that the cows and the sheep and the goats and the chickens, you know, you got it. It's on the feet. And so the feet were nasty. The feet were very dirty. That's one of the reasons why it's such an offensive part of that story in the Gospel of John chapter 13 where Peter talks to Jesus. Jesus is going to wash the disciples' feet. And Peter says, God forbid, no, because that's the master touching some of the dirtiest parts of the human body. And so when God's word says that how beautiful are the feet, that's a crazy kind of thing. But why are they beautiful? It's not because they look good. It's not because they look nice. But beautiful feet are those that are willing to bear and to share the good news of Jesus Christ with others. You see, what that means is that the eternal, everlasting God, the Lord of lords and the King of kings, the one who is our creator, the one who is our redeemer, the one who sustains us in every single day of life, he is the all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present God of the universe. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He was, he is, and he is to come. It's this one, the one who is holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. And he is the one who can take the foulest, most flawed, grubby feet. And we're no longer talking about feet. We're talking about what's above the feet. We're talking about the hearts and the souls and the minds of sinful, broken people. You see, our God can take the most defective, deficient, damaged people, the likes of you and me, and he can call us to bear and to share that invaluable good news of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. You see, matter of fact, that's his plan. That's how our God rolls. God many times takes the people that we would reject. He takes the people that we would write off, the people that we would discount, and he uses them for Jesus' story and for God's glory. You see, that's what he does. That's what our God does. He takes imperfect people, and he works his perfect plan. You know, when I open the Bible, it's filled with broken, imperfect people and God using them for his perfect plan. Think about some of these people and some of the liabilities that they had. Check out this little ditty. Abraham was old. Joseph was sold. Sarah lied. Peter denied. Gideon feared. John the Baptist was weird. Job's life was in a tizzy. Martha was way too busy. David took a man's wife. Paul took another man's life. Noah was found naked and drunk. Jacob acted like a spoiled punk. Prodigal son took his father's stash. Matthew was in love with his cash. Moses had an issue talking. The lame man had a problem walking. Woman at the well had 5 marriages fail. Doubting Thomas wanted to bail. Jonah caught a boat and fled. Lazarus was in the grave and dead. According to some people, all of these Bible characters, all of these who came to bear and to share the good news of Jesus with others, some people would have discounted them, counted them as useless for God's purposes. And yet all these people, even though they had brokenness, even though they had former lives, lives which God does not celebrate, God doesn't celebrate our sinful choices. God doesn't encourage our errant ways. But we as sinners, as we turn to Christ, and ask God for forgiveness and renewal of the old in us. God takes us and he makes us new. Every time we say, create in me a clean heart, oh God, that's exactly what he does. He creates in us clean hearts. And God can take the ugliest past. God can take ghosts from our closets. God can take broken lives. And as again we turn to Jesus, ask for forgiveness and ask for the power of the Holy Spirit to make us better and to help us to be new, that's exactly what he does. He can change our patterns and our behaviors, whereby he then utilizes us to bear and to share that good news of Jesus with others. You know, this is good news for us. It should be. It should be good news for us that God takes us in our brokenness and uses us as his vessels to share his love and his goodness with those around us. And you know, again, it's not just those people who need to hear it that have never heard it or that are not close to Jesus. Sometimes it's us. It's in our family. It's in our friendship. It's in our network at school and at work. People who just need to be reminded. And sometimes those people are me, and sometimes those people are you. See, because when we talk about sharing good news, you know what that implies? To share good news implies that there's bad news. And there's plenty of bad news out there if you just look, right? I watched the news for 5-6 minutes the other night. There's no shortage of bad news. This past week, I heard about a car wreck outside Bastrop, left 4 dead, 2 were kids. The earthquake and the tsunami in Indonesia left 2,000 dead. And they believe that another 5,000 are buried under rubble. There was an accident, a hunting accident in Gonzales County. 2 men were climbing out of a deer stand. A gun discharges, shoots the other man in the head and kills him. Hurricane Michael strikes Florida. 155-mile-an-hour winds. Devastation. 17 are dead. They anticipate that to rise. In our own community, I'm aware of a young teen with suicidal thoughts. A woman who is diagnosed with breast cancer. Another woman who is diagnosed with breast cancer for the second time. A mother riddled with guilt. A marriage falling apart. A family burying a dad. All this bad news. And of course, it's even worse news when we don't have our faith, right? We don't have our faith to fall back on. And again, it's not just people who don't have faith. It's you and I. You and I who do have faith, but because the waters of life become so high upon us and go over our head, or the temptation is too strong that we're going through right there, we just need to be reminded. And thus this little cheat sheet for you here today. What I'll call just a mnemonic device. Because it tells the story. It tells the story of Jesus and his love. And for you to wear that, to you to be reminded yourself, but maybe to make that connection, the Jesus connection, with someone else who needs to hear it as well. This information's in your bulletin. So you don't have to like exactly remember it right now, but it's in your bulletin and the story is told right there, so you can take it home and you can memorize it or you can have it, keep it in your Bible, whatever you want to do right there. But I'm going to go through it with you real quick. The arrow pointing down, I'm looking in the bulletin or I'm looking on my bracelet. The arrow pointing down is that's Christmas. God sent Jesus, his son, to be with us in this world. God did not leave us abandoned to our own sin, but he sent his son Jesus to be our Savior, to be among us, and to walk with us. And so we know that story in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, so that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. God gives us that hope in sending Jesus. That's the arrow down. The next one's the cross. Jesus didn't just come to walk with us and to hang around with us, did he? He came to die for us. If the first arrow coming down is Christmas, the cross is Good Friday. And that was the purpose for which he came, to forgive us of our sins, to trade places with us, to take the sin and the punishment upon himself that we should have received because of our sinfulness and our brokenness. He traded places with us So as we believe in him as our Lord and Savior, as we call upon him as our Lord and Savior, he forgives us of our sins. As far as the east is from the west, in the deepest part of the ocean, he buries our sin. But he did it by dying on the cross. That's why Isaiah 53 says, by his wounds we are healed. And we get to the next symbol, the thing that looks like a little rainbow. Well, that's the empty tomb. That's Easter. The first one's Christmas, the second one's Good Friday, the next one is Easter. We proclaim Christ is risen indeed. He died the death that we should have deserved, but he didn't stay dead. He rose from the dead. He defeated sin, death, and the devil. And so in his defeating sin, death, and the devil, we're reminded of this, that sin and death and the devil, they're all very strong, very strong. None of us by ourselves can stand up to sin, death, or the devil. It is only as we are allied with Jesus Christ that we can stand in the storm of sin, death, and the devil. And so sin, death, and the devil, they're strong, but Jesus is stronger. And so as we are connected with him, though we go through difficult seasons, though we go through difficult times, though we face the tomb of our own loved ones and even the grave for our own selves, we live with that eternal hope that as we believe in him, we, like Paul in 1 Corinthians, say, oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? The fourth symbol, the arrow up. He ascended into heaven. So 40 days after he rose from the dead, the story says that he ascended into heaven, and he claimed that position of power at the right hand of the Father. It's the place from where he came. It's the place to which he returned, to the right-hand power of God. And as he left, he gave the disciples the mission of carrying on the good news, of Jesus not just being the one who spoke the good news, but the disciples. And guess who the disciples are today? But you and I. And so as he left, he said this, I am going to the Father. And so he departs this planet. He leaves this plan with us. And then we get that to that final arrow, the arrow pointing down again. It reminds us that he is coming again. He is coming again in glory. This is his second coming. He says that I will come again. And this time, he will destroy sin, death, and the devil forever. He'll lock them up in the fires of hell. They will have no more impact upon our lives. He'll create a new heaven and a new earth. And we will celebrate that good news of God's new beginning eternally. That's when he comes again. But you know, that arrow pointing down means one more thing. It means that while we wait, he has not left us resourceless. He has sent his Holy Spirit to give us power from on high, Acts chapter 1 says, power from on high, that we have the living, resurrected Jesus in us. So as we go through difficult times and temptations, we know the story that we're not alone, that God walks by our side and promises to never leave us or forsake us. And it's with this living power of God in us that he says every time you ask God for the Holy Spirit, guess what? God will give it. God will give the Holy Spirit every time we ask for it. Here's the problem. We don't always ask. And since we don't ask, we don't always receive. But every time we ask God for the Holy Spirit, he will give it to us. So as we go through this season in between his leaving and his coming again, he gives us his Holy Spirit so that we may bear and share the good news of faith with others. And when we do, guess what? God looks down from heaven, and you know what he sees? He sees a bunch of beautiful feet. Amen. Amen.